AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York.
I spoke with Governor DeSantis several times.
President Biden says he's reached out to several governors and federal support is on its way to the South, where Hurricane Idalia is still causing widespread damage. It's now weakened to a Category 1 since hitting Georgia, but more than 365,000 people still don't have power there and in Florida, and the Carolinas are next.
I'm Jim Crisul in Murrells Inlet, South Carolina, getting ready for Idalia.
This is my first rodeo, you know?
Diane Martin has never been through a storm like this before.
Afraid of getting water in, so I'm getting some sandbags ready just in case.
Tropical storm warnings, flood watches, and tornado watches are all posted across much of South Georgia and the Carolinas.
Meantime, South and Central Florida are now shifting into recovery mode. Airports in Tampa, St. Pete, and Clearwater are slowly reopening.
Did you hear the question, Senator? Running for re-election in 2026?
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell seemingly froze today for more than 30 seconds while taking reporters' questions in Kentucky.
All right, I'm sorry, you all. We're going to need a minute.
It is the second time it's happened to him in the last month, but his team says this time he was just a little lightheaded, and he does plan to see a doctor. Rudy Giuliani is in more trouble in Georgia.
A D.C. federal judge has issued a default judgment in favor of two Georgia election workers, Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss, in their defamation case against former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, then a Trump legal advisor, for baseless claims made after the 2020 election in Georgia. The judge says there'll be a trial to determine how much financial damages Giuliani will have to pay.
As CBS's Scott McFarland reporting, Giuliani is also facing criminal charges over the 2020 election in the state's RICO case with former President Trump. The U.S. Embassy in Haiti wants Americans to leave. Here's CBS's Cammie McCormick.
An embassy alert says given the current security situation and infrastructure challenges, Americans should leave Haiti as soon as possible, either by commercial flight or private transport. It says airlines are filling up fast. There was already a do not travel advisory in place, and the family members of U.S. government employees, as well as non-emergency workers, were ordered to leave given the violence there.
In Africa, senior military officers have seized control of Gabon.
The borders are closed until further notice. All the institutions of the Republic are dissolved.
That announcement on national television there, the country's president is under house arrest. And here at home, CNN is bringing in former New York Times and BBC leader Mark Thompson to turn things around. Thompson replaces Chris Licht, who was fired earlier this summer. It's CNN's third leader in less than 2 years. This is CBS News.
At Staples, school savings are always in session. From art supplies and essentials to the latest tech, in stock and priced low. School on, save on at your local Staples store.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance. For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-330-1991. That's 1-800-330-1991. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-330-1991. SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
Maxine Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article in the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Alyssa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, August 31st. In Wood County, the meeting of the Wisconsin Rapids Planning Commission will be held at 4 p.m. in the Council Chambers at City Hall. The Health and Human Services Committee will meet at 5 p.m. in the River Block Building Auditorium in Room 206. In Portage County, the Human Resources Committee will meet at 5 at the Portage County Annex in Conference Rooms 1 and 2. In Adams County, the City of Adams Policy and Procedure Committee will meet at 5 p.m. at the City Municipal Building. Work on Oak Street in Wisconsin Rapids is continuing. The street is expected to reopen today from 8th to 12th Streets. Remaining concrete flatwork and topsoil installation is ongoing, and the 16th Street intersection is planned to be open by the end of this week. 16th Street is being detoured on East Grand Avenue, 8th Street North, and Baker Street. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows around 46. Tonight, under clear skies, east winds around 5 miles per hour. Clear skies tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 79. Mainly clear tomorrow night, lows level off around 53. Dry with temperatures a bit above average Friday and Saturday, and highs from the mid-80s to the low 90s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 70.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this August 30th, 2023. I have your host, James J. Maloff, here. At 3:30, we are going to welcome in Kate Carlson with the Wood County Health Department. Looking forward to catching up with Kate. We're going to talk with her about the wildlife smoke, recycling, and a couple of other things. Right now, joining us on the phone, Senator Patrick Teston. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, James. How are you?
Doing good. How have you been?
Staying busy.
Yeah, you have.
Flying by, but I can't complain.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that you've been up to, sir. Looking forward to getting into that with you. But for right now, we certainly overnight had some interesting news going on, that the proposal for almost a $3 billion in state income tax cuts. Let's start right there.
Yeah, so yesterday it was announced the Assembly Republican Caucus unveiled a plan to provide significant tax relief. So anyone who was following along during the budget process, so we had initially in the budget proposed a $3.5 billion income tax cut, which would have simplified our tax code, taking us from four brackets down to three. And when it reached the governor's desk, roughly 95% of that tax cut was vetoed, which was unfortunate. But given the fact that with that veto, that basically lapsed roughly $4 billion back into the general fund, the state's general fund. The Assembly Republicans have put forth a proposal. And so, I'm looking forward to having conversations with my colleagues in the state Senate. I think anytime that we can provide significant tax relief, especially for the middle class, as well as our small business owners, I think that's a windfall for the state. And in fact, just yesterday, I recorded a radio address that talked about the needs of how we need to become more competitive as far as it relates to our tax climate. Right now, we're ranked 27th in the nation as far as being our tax climate competitiveness. And if we want to grow, similar to other states like Texas, Tennessee, Florida, South Dakota, I think we need to do what we can to provide more money to our taxpayers here in the state, especially at a time when record high inflation has really eaten away at individuals' ability to earn. And so we'll see where it goes. I'm hopeful and confident that through the course of this fall, I'm hopeful that we can get a tax cut deal done, and hopefully one that we can get the governor's support on.
And speaking of that support, Governor Evers has already commented that he does. He is encouraged by this most recent proposal, in major part because you and your colleagues left out a tax cut for the highest income bracket. That is one of the things that is different about this proposal than the previous one. What led to that?
Well, again, this is really being driven by the assembly leadership right now. And so I think by and large, the approach that they're taking is, look, we know what the governor will sign, what he won't sign. And obviously, the governor had concerns with touching the top tax bracket, which from my perspective, I think it's a missed opportunity, because if you take a look right now at our top marginal tax rate, there's no other state that's higher right now between the states of New York and California. So Wisconsin remains an outlier. But if we can provide tax relief for a significant number of filers here in the state, I think that's still a step in the right direction, even though I think a number of my colleagues, including myself, would like to go a little bit further.
I don't want to get us off into a different direction here, but when you mentioned something like that and we talk about being behind on things, and you and I and Representative Crew, Katrina Shanklin, we've all talked about this too, about medical marijuana and being behind on that, where every state surrounding us is doing something along the lines of that, where we're kind of still left in kind of in the old ages with it. When it comes to these things, just in general, are you at all worried about Wisconsin getting behind just in general, just of the rest of the country?
Yeah, it is a little bit concerning. So, you know, as you mentioned, the issue of medical marijuana, you know, I've been sort of outside of my caucus on this a little bit when I introduced the bill back in 2019. But I do see the merits for it. I do support it. I think recreation is still a hard sell for a lot of us in the legislature, but I do think there's much more of an openness to have conversations and see where we could possibly go with a medical cannabis program, which I think has a lot of benefits. And it's actually in line with legislation that many of us have voted for in the past, which is the right to try bill, that if you're terminally ill, that you should have the ability to go out and do medicines that can provide some relief, even though the end result is still going to be death. But why wouldn't we provide comfort to those individuals who are suffering from debilitating diseases, whether it's cancer and other types of illnesses like that? And so this week, I had a conversation with one of my colleagues, Senator Mary Felskowski, up in the northern part of the state. And I think she's working on a bill right now. I haven't seen the details, but I do think you're going to see a proposal put forth this fall. And it may not go as far as some people would like, but as I tell everyone, sometimes it takes baby steps before you're able to go on to a full-on sprint. And so, I'm hopeful and optimistic that we can have that conversation this session. And I think based on where things are at right now with our current makeup, there's a much more openness to at least have the conversation than we had in years past.
Do you think, from your perspective, from what you're seeing behind the scenes, we're closer to this than we've ever been as far as it happening? I'm not putting a timetable out of it. I just mean that you're hearing good feedback that there's a possibility of this happening still.
Yeah, I think there is. I think there's a strong possibility that this could happen this fall. And now it's just a matter of, we got to see what's in the details and how it's going to be structured. And if it has the legs and the support in the legislature to get it out of both houses and sent to the governor.
Flipping back to the bill that was proposed, Wisconsin is projected to end the two-year budget cycle with $4 billion surplus. Many of your colleagues believe that that should go to the extra money should go to the taxpayers or tax relief. Is that going back to what you were previously talking about with the upper bracket or all brackets?
Based on the proposal that was put forth yesterday by the Senate Republicans, it doesn't touch the top bracket, but still by significant across the board. So, I'm a firm believer there. I haven't come across a tax cut that I didn't like. And I think any time that we can get money out of Madison and put it back into the pockets of hardworking taxpayers, it's a win-win for the state. I mean, if you take a look going back to 2011, there have been several tax cut proposals put forward and enacted into law. And every time that taxes have been cut, we've actually seen an increase in revenues into the state. And, it's kind of ironic given the fact that how we score our bills through the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, it's done statically, not dynamically. So I think we've now proven that when tax cut proposals are put forward, it's viewed as a spend and a hit to our state coffers. But in actuality, the returns that we've gotten is we've actually increased revenues coming back to the state, which is a good thing in my opinion.
Having a little bit of phone troubles with you, sir, but we got most of that. I think we got most of that. Just to let you know that's going on. State Senator Patrick Teston joining us right now. And sir, you recently were a part of a bill to require agreements between restaurants and third party food service delivery services. I'd like to get into that, and especially those that don't know about it, if you could explain what was in the bill for us.
Sure. So this is legislation that was that I authored last session. Unfortunately, it kind of stalled in the committee it was referred to, and we've brought it back. And so I think by and large, consumers have shown that there is great demand for third-party delivery services such as Grubhub, DoorDash, and others. And it's actually been a windfall. But there are some concerns and issues that have come up. So for instance, if an order gets placed there are oftentimes instances where restaurants will come to find out by surprise that their menus, their business is being advertised on these sites without their permission. And so we actually work with the stakeholders on both sides, the third-party delivery groups, as well as the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, to come up with a compromise, to put in some guardrails and to ensure that, one, restaurants agree to be put on these platforms and services, and also to make sure that we have consumer protections put in place, making sure that delivery drivers actually have some knowledge of food safety and basic sanitation, and to ensure that when orders are placed that the restaurant gets notified, because there have been cases where an order gets mixed up, or the delivery, when it gets delivered, the food is cold, and oftentimes customers don't necessarily know who's responsible for that, and they'll blame the restaurant when they may not have been their problem whatsoever. And so we just want to make sure that, you know, again, we've got some guardrails put in place, and more importantly, that restaurants have a say as to whether or not they want to have their menus and their business advertised on these platforms.
We're really fixing the boat while we're on the water with a lot of these things, whether we're talking about internet laws or animal laws, a lot of these things. With something like this, how difficult is it when there is no previous laws? I'm curious if you and your colleagues looked into California a little bit, because I know California was doing something similar to this as well. When there is no kind of precedent already, where do you begin? Where do you start? And do you look at other states for influence?
Oh, absolutely. And I think this is one of these classic examples where the private sector is moving faster than the regulations that are supposed to, you know, kind of oversee them. And so, when it's a new issue that arises, oftentimes what I do, and I know many other offices do this as well, is that we'll use the resources at our disposal. And for instance, the National Conference on State Legislatures, which represents every state, every legislative body in the country, and they're a great resource, so we can reach out to them and say, hey, you know, we've got an idea for a bill. Can you kind of give us a framework of what other states have done to approach this issue and kind of use that to guide us as we move forward so we don't have to reinvent the wheel? And so, you know, we did look at other states as it relates to this bill, and I think came up with a really good framework. And again, what's really encouraging by this, what I'm encouraged by, is the fact that, you know, we had both sides of the issue at the table, and, you know, to hash out our disagreements and find that common ground. And I think the bill that we put forward reflects that. And so, again, I'm cautiously optimistic that while we hit pitfalls last session, that we can overcome those and hopefully enact good public policy that's going to be in the best interest of the public.
I'm not saying that everybody in Madison is holding hands singing Kumbaya, but are you noticing this too, sir? Because I want to bring this up. We have Scott, Representative Krugen, on Friday, and I want to bring it up with him as well. I feel like in the last year or so, I'm hearing a lot more of that bipartisan support. Or, this Republican bill and Governor Evers looking into it and agreeing with it, or that. I feel like we're becoming, and we're showing our purple in this state a lot more.
Yeah, I think there's a strong case to be made there. And I think, you know, ever since I entered the legislature in January of 2017, every session that, you know, I've been down in Madison, I think the vast majority of the bills that we pass are bipartisan, both under Governor Walker and Governor Evers. And, you know, I think especially now, given the fact that we do have divided government, and, you know, we know we're going to have Governor Evers and for the next 3 years, that, okay, we understand that there are going to be some pretty vast differences between the parties, which is to be expected. But I think we also have to recognize that, you know, the voters in the state elected to have split government for a reason. And so I think it's incumbent upon us to, you know, figure that out and find areas where we can get agreement on, because I don't think anyone wants to go down to Madison just to hit our head against the wall and, you know, constantly fight each other left and right. And so while we do have our differences, I do think that, you know, we have proven, at least in Wisconsin, that maybe the feds could take note, mm-hmm. that we've been able to look past some of our differences and really try and focus on issues that are going to help our state.
It's so much more important that we get things done than one party or the other has bragging rights. It feels like it's we've gotten away from where we were for some years there, where our party has power in this state, and we're just going to sit here and we're not going to pass those bills. We're not going to do this. We're going to do that. I'm not saying our state was like that, but some states in our union were kind of holding pack. And the American people are not going to take that anymore from either side. That we want to see things getting done. Wherever your state capital is, you want to see work being done. It feels like more and more constituents are being very vocal about this as well.
Yeah, I would agree with that sentiment. And I take a look at my district specifically. I mean, in 2018, my district was won by Governor Walker as well as Senator Tammy Baldwin. These are two individuals that have vastly different political views and philosophies, but yet the voters, they look past the R and the D behind someone's name and really focused on the individual and who they want to have represent them either down in Madison or in D.C. And so, you know, I think you're right. Wisconsin is a purple state. And, you know, as a result of that, that definitely impacts how I approach things and trying to find that common ground. And again, you know, we're going to have our dust ups and there are going to be some issues that we're pretty far apart on, which is to be expected. But I think by and large, as I've said countless times, is that whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, we all go down to Madison or out to D.C. for the same reasons. We want to make our country, our state, our communities a better place. We may have different ways of getting there, but if we can hash it out and find that common ground first, then it's going to yield much better results. I mean, I always found it comical when I ran statewide last year in the primary for lieutenant governor. And, you know, you're going into communities you're not as familiar with and at community events where you don't know anyone, you're going up to people and making the introduction. And I always got a chuckle when I'd go up to someone and they said, well, what party are you? Well, I'd say, well, I'm a Republican. And they said, well, we're Democrats. And so we just can't talk. And I would always stop and say, look, if I didn't talk to Democrats, I wouldn't talk to my own parents. And that's not really a road I want to hold. So how about we restart the conversation and figure out what we agree on as opposed to what we don't? Because at the end of the day, you know, politics is a game of addition and subtraction and really about fractions. And we can all have different numerators, but the one common denominator that we have is that we're all Americans. Hmm.
It really seems like, too, if there's one thing that we're all on the same page with, you know, Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever, we're tired of divisiveness. We're tired of people trying to separate us or tell us that we should be separate or think separate or look at somebody differently than a fellow American, a neighbor differently because of such and such things. We're seeing a lot more of that, too, I think. A real pushback on that, where for so long it seemed like we were becoming more and more divisive as a country. It feels like, while it's a slow burn, it's been happening more and more of. No, we realize we have more in common than we realize, most realize. A couple of your lawmakers released a proposal about a week or two ago that would eliminate the sales tax in Wisconsin on essential baby products, including diapers, cribs, strollers. I wanted to get your take on this.
Yeah, I think it's a proposal worthwhile, and I would definitely support it because, again, we know that families' purchasing power has really diminished with the inflationary aspects that we're dealing with right now, and so, you know, these are essential items. And again, anything that we can do to provide relief for families, because, you know, whether it's childcare, whether it's, you know, just even the cost of living right now, it's difficult and people are feeling the pinch. And it doesn't matter what corner of the state that you're in. It doesn't matter if you're urban or rural, northern, south, or anywhere in between. It's posing a real challenge and it's causing families to really pinch pennies. And you know, I think this is a proposal that will provide some significant relief for these items and anything that we can do to help families out, especially younger families who are just starting out and starting their careers and want to have kids. I mean, we should be doing everything that we can to support them.
Do you think that this could bills like this? Excuse me, bills like this and similar things to this that would involve childcare could kind of going back to what you were saying before about, you know, increasing our population, bringing in, you know, new residents to Wisconsin and keeping the residents we have. And do you think that these kind of things are just as important as a tax cut as far as keeping people in state or bringing people to the state?
Well, I think it's all of the above. I mean, people are smart and there's no question when people go to a ballot box, they're making an informed decision on what direction they want to see their community, their state, the country go. But one of the most consequential votes someone can make is with their feet. And again, you know, I'm a numbers-driven guy, taking a look at data. And when you take a look at the census data from 2020, the states that saw increases of people moving in were states that had a more competitive tax climate where they don't have excessive taxes and regulations. Not that, you know, I'm not saying we do away with all regulations, but people take note of that. They want to know where their dollar is going to stretch further compared to other states. And, you know, that was laid out pretty clear. I mean, the states that saw the largest out-migration were states like New York, California, and Illinois. No offense to Illinois. But compare that to the states that saw the largest gains, it was Florida, Tennessee, Texas, South Dakota. And I think if we want to be competitive, especially given the fact that right now we have 182,000 job openings here in the state of Wisconsin, and we have an aging demographic, we've got to do what we can to not only retain who we have, but we also have to attract people from outside of the state, because we are in direct competition with 49 other states, and we have to make the case as to why Wisconsin is the best place to live, work, and raise a family.
And I've seen those same numbers, or similar ones at the least, and I agree with you. I do think that you have a very strong point there. I'll say, though, that the same articles I've seen will show you that Florida is one of the states that have lost people the most, and in big part because of their child care and some of the things that they are doing there in that state. So it's also something to learn from with that, too. The more we improve our child care, the more we take care of these things, the more we're going to probably be seeing an influx of people. I wanted to wrap up with you talking a little bit about you smiling more. This is great to see, sir. I don't think we see our politicians get to smile very often. And you've been making on the fair circuit and been running a lot of those. I seen you were at the Almond Lions Club Tater Tot Parade recently. Please tell me what this is. I have not heard of this one. I've heard of a lot of our fairs, but you had me at Tater Tot Parade. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, the Tater Toot Parade down in Almond.
Tater Toot Parade, yes.
Yeah, if you've never been, it's a tiny little village in southern Portage County, and it's put on by the Almond Bancroft Lions Club, and it really is, it's one of my favorite events to go to every year. It's a little community. Everyone shows up. It's really to highlight the work that our great men and women in the agricultural industry do, and what's so fun about it is that at the end of the parade, they've got a great community event. Everyone's downtown. They've got live music, bands, can't go wrong with the beer and brat stand. And so it's always fun to go there. And then even just this past weekend, it was at the Central Wisconsin State Fair up in Marshfield. And it's just so great to see people coming out and just enjoying the sights, coming together as a community. And it really is one of the highlights of the job. It's, you know, obviously we get paid to go down to Madison to work on legislation, to help folks with constituent cases and any issues that may come up with the government. But for me, the highlight of the job is coming back home, being in central Wisconsin, going to these events and just talking to people, everyday people. And, you know, just to have the one-on-one conversations and just to get out and enjoy the sights and sounds.
You know, how important is it for politicians to, whether it, like for you, whether it's the On the Job series or showing up at fairs like this, to be with the people, to be there, to not be in a bubble, to be around people? It's one thing when you go to a door, to a constituent's door and, you know, ask them, are you Democrat or Republican? Please vote for Senator Tess and that sort of thing. That's you going to them. This is you going, them coming to you in essence, where you're there. And it's a more organic situation. How important is it for politicians to be in these situations and to be with the people?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, that's our job. And, you know, from my perspective, it is the best way to keep your thumb on the pulse of the folks back home. And, you know, again, I tell everyone, I still get the chills when I walk in the Capitol and that dome gets bigger and bigger as I'm driving down East Washington Ave. But by the end of the day, when that dome's getting smaller in my rearview mirror, I couldn't be happier, because it means I'm going home. I'm going to be back in the district talking to folks. And the other important thing that comes up is that when you're out there, I mean, you don't know what conversation is going to come up. You don't know if a constituent is going to come up to you and have an idea, or they're dealing with an issue. And so That's one of the beauties of this job, is that you never know what's going to come across your desk, or in this case, when you're out and about at these events, you know, what's going to pop up. But then, you know, you could get an idea for a bill, or you end up helping someone with an issue that they're dealing with state government. Not that that would ever happen, It's one of the most valuable tools that any elected official at any level can have, is just being out there and being present and visible, and more importantly, to show up and listen.
You mentioned you were at the Central Wisconsin State Fair. We had a bunch of our team down there as well. Wanted to thank you for stopping by and stopping by the Truth booth. Thank you very much for that. It was good to see you down there.
Yeah, that was a blast. We had a really good conversation, forget your colleague's name, but we had a really good chat, and it's just great. It was a good opportunity, and I'll never say no.
We always appreciate the time, sir. We will catch up more next month. If people have follow-up questions, they want to know more about some of the things we've talked about, how can they reach you?
Yeah, if anyone needs to get a hold of me, they can contact my office at 608-266-3123. Shoot us an email at sen.teston@legis.wi.gov, or follow us on social media, Facebook, X, or Twitter, whatever the heck it's called these days. and especially right now, as we get geared up for the fall session, if people have ideas or if any of the issues that we talked about here today, reach out and give us your feedback, because we'll gladly appreciate it, and that will help inform our decisions as these bills progress and make their way through the legislative process.
Genuinely always appreciate the time, Patrick. Thank you very much for joining us, sir. You have a great day and be safe out there.
Will do. Thanks, James.
Thank you. Senator Patrick Teston joining us. He'll be with us again next month for another great conversation. Stick around for more Midday Magazine right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. The super blue moon made its first appearance last night. This is the second super moon this month, so it's considered a super blue moon. The moon was closest to Earth this morning and will appear full for 3 days until Friday morning. About 25% of all full moons are supermoons, but only 3% of full moons are blue moons. The last time two full supermoons graced the sky in the same month was 2018. It won't happen again until 2037. The last supermoon of the year will be September 28th. The Wood County Sheriff's Department would like to thank everyone who came out to the Wheeler's Family Auto Group in Wisconsin Rapids for their brat fry yesterday. The proceeds raised from the brat sales will be donated to the Wood County K-9 Unit. Retired investigator Sergeant Wayne Schultz cooked the brats. There will be another brat fry in Marshfield on Friday. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows around 46. Tonight, under clear skies, east winds around 5 miles per hour. Clear skies tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 79. Mainly clear tomorrow night, lows level off around 53. Dry with temperatures a bit above average Friday and Saturday, and highs from the mid-80s to the low 90s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 70.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this August 30th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. I am joined by our great friend, Kate Carlson, from the Wood County Health Department. Kate, good to see you.
Thanks, James. Yes, I'm Kate Carlson from the Wood County Health Department, here to talk to you a little bit about clean sweep and some recycling and some air quality stuff.
Yeah. We're going to make sure we have time for that. But I do, if you don't mind, Kate, want to first up start off with, first, thank you to you and the whole Wood County Health Department. God, we appreciate you guys. We have your back. We thank you so much for the work you do for this community. And along with that, how are things going at the department? Everything moving along, really? You guys had a good summer?
Everything's going along just fine. We got the farmer's market going, lunch by the river, and got the couple new programs going on and full staff, and we're doing all good.
I think after the pandemic, I think there was a real influx of that, of asking how our health departments are doing and those things. I don't want to stop doing that. I want to continue to do those things and check in on you guys and see how you guys are doing and let you know how much we appreciate you. Because I don't want another pandemic just so that we can appreciate you guys and our great medical industry a little bit more. So.
Yeah, public health was in the spotlight a lot.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So let's get into Clean Sweep, and let's talk about this. It's one of the bigger events in our area that isn't necessarily a party, but it brings so many people, and it's such an important event. And going forward, Kate, this event has been around a long time, and while it's always been important, it just feels like in the recent years and going forward, it's going to be even more and more vital as we get more and more electronics and more products that we're not sure what to do with when they're done with use, where to go with them.
Absolutely, and I've learned that in Wood County, there's no place to get rid of hazardous waste that's chemical waste.
Yeah.
There's no option. Mm-hmm. You can't even pay to get rid of it. You can't go to the landfill and pay. I went on their website, and they do have a program, but it's not offered in Wisconsin. So There's actually no way except half of a day a year when we have this Clean Sweep program, and it's really important. People don't realize you cannot pour this stuff out in your drain. Because what that you're doing then is it's going right back into your, if you're on a well, it's going to go right into your drain field and onto your property and could contaminate your well or your neighbor's well. And if you're on city water, municipal water, the wastewater treatment plant has to use so many more chemicals to counteract and clarify the water and clean the water and sanitize the water if you're dumping all that down the drain. And with no other options, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah. I know that the PFAS talk is getting to a point where we're losing people because we're hearing it so much. But we're not going to be able to stop talking about it if we don't start, you know, doing some of these things that continue to shoot ourselves in the foot, basically.
Absolutely. Just because things go downstream does not mean they're going away. Those forever chemicals stay in the ground. Just because we have sand country around here doesn't mean it's filtering out all that stuff. It can go right back into your own well.
Kate, one of the things that I think is always good to touch on with this topic when we're talking about Clean Sweep is getting into right away the items that aren't accepted. We don't want to waste the volunteers' time at Clean Sweep. We appreciate them so much and all the good people that are working on this. We certainly don't want to waste our community's time. You bring something down there, you're just going to have to bring it right back home. So let's cut that off and get to things that are not accepted at Clean Sweep.
So... there's quite a few things like antifreeze, appliances, batteries, electronics. We're not taking the explosives or fluorescent light bulbs. No high-pressure cylinders. Latex paint, that can be just dried out and put in your regular garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Motor oil and tires and smoke detectors. So it's basically just chemicals that we're getting.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else. But we do have a list of recycle products that... in our office and on our website for people to get rid of some of those items. So if you're looking to get rid of, you know, your motor oil, we do have a list of a couple people in the area and in Marshfield throughout the whole county that accept these items.
Yeah. And it's, you're really just a phone call or a search engine away from finding these places.
Yep. Just give us a call. The unfortunate thing is it's only half a day a year, and it would be more than that, but we don't have the need.
Yeah.
Nobody's coming, like a lot of people do not come to Clean Sweep. Like that electronics recycling last week, I mean, there was miles of cars waiting to get rid of their stuff for free. We're not seeing that at Clean Sweep. But if we want to have these services in our community, we need to talk to our local municipalities. You need to get a hold of your representatives, your county board members, your city representatives.
Yeah, yeah.
And just let them know that you want recycling in our county. Portage County has a transfer site, Adams County has a transfer site. Most other counties have a place to take this stuff on a normal basis, but we do not. So we need to be proactive and let people know that this is a service that we want.
And we have to create new habits.
Yes.
I love this area. I love the people of this area. I don't want it to be taken, you know, twisted here or anything. But we all, and this is especially small towns, you have a tendency to continue to do what your parents did and their parents did and what tradition is or what you just always did. Well, we've just always thrown the motor oil over here or whatever.
Right,
why
right.
would we stop doing that?
That's
or what
the
have
pit
you?
Behind the shed. That's where it's always gone.
Right. And to piggyback on what you're saying, if there aren't other options, you know, not to say that they don't have another option. That, oh, well, what else can they do? I mean, you certainly can hang on to the item until you can get rid of it. But to them, in this perspective, in this old mentality of thinking, well, this is what my dad did. This is what I, you know, my grandpa did, or whatever. We need the people to speak up on this more. We need people to put these things into actions more and to help us with this. I think that it's it. I don't think I have to ask you, you know, journalistically or anything, do you think we need another day? I think that's kind of clear to us, to the audience.
Absolutely.
We need the people of the community to speak up on this as well, to back us on this. It's pretty far-fetched to think that we're one of the only towns that doesn't need a whole day or doesn't need a service system or service in town for this.
Right, right. We have a landfill right here in town, and we just need to let them know that we want this and they can build it. But if they don't know that we're going to come, they're not going to build it and waste their money. So, but the reason I know it's an issue because people call me all the time and they say, you know, my parents just died. Mm-hmm. We have all their stuff from their house. What do I do with it? I live in Georgia. I'm just up here for 2 weeks to clean this out. What do I do with it? Yeah. Clean sweeps in September, I tell them. And they're like, well, what good does that do me? And I say, there's no really other choice that you have. You can take them back to your own municipality and get rid of them. They're like, well, I'm on a plane. I'm not flying back. Yeah. So what are people supposed to do? You don't plan ahead for deaths. And, so you're not cleaning out things. You know how mom and dad are. You're not throwing that away. I can still use that. Yeah. So, but, you know, the old stuff that's in the garage, the old stuff that's in the house, basement, go through that stuff. It doesn't matter if you don't know what it is. Just don't mix anything together because it could be hazardous. Mm-hmm. And you can bring stuff even if you don't know if it's on the list. We do have a exchange table. So if there's something like that's really good and you're like, well, I really don't want to get rid of this stuff, you know, somebody could use this, like Thompson's water seal or an open can of, or an unopened can of paint or something. You can bring that in and we'll put it on the exchange table. And believe me, people do come and pick that stuff up because they want that stuff for free.
It's so important that when you see these needs in our community, you're reaching out to our constituents, out to our representatives,
right,
and letting them know that this is important to us. We want to fight for this. We want more of this in our community.
And if they don't hear about it, they're hearing other people's voices are louder, and we're just not speaking up enough. So we need this.
Yeah. We just had Senator Patrick Tesna with us. So a perfect example of this. Reach out to Senator Tesna. Reach out to Representative Krug. Reach out to our people. Mm-hmm. I know these individuals. I know they want to hear from you. So they want to do their job. In order to do their job, they got to hear from you. So here, you know, reach out to them, people.
And that's kind of an initiative right now is air and water quality is a big initiative in Wisconsin. So, you know, we can't just talk about it. We have to actually do it and participate in ourselves and be part of that solution.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some of the guidelines for clean sweep, especially for those out there that may have not used the services before or taken in the day before. What are some things to know going into this?
So when you come to clean sweep, you basically just drive up. There's a line that will make sure you know where you're going, and you don't even get out of the car. We just ask you what kind of stuff you have. You pop your trunk, and workers will come take the stuff out for you. So you don't have to touch it. You don't have to get dirty. If you had somebody help you load it up, you don't have to worry about unloading it or hurting your back or anything like that. There are trained professionals, and they actually are like Veolia employees that come from a special plant, and they bring a semi full of all these barrels, and then they know what chemicals go in what barrels, and then they take it to a special incinerator and take care of it responsibly, where we are not doing that responsibly, even by putting it down the drain. I mean, we're diluting it when we're doing that, but we're still putting chemicals down the drain.
Should the materials be identified if need be? I mean, certainly if you have a chemical in a bucket, you probably want to let them know what that chemical is.
Yeah, I mean, if there's labels on it, keep the labels on. Don't take the labels off. But if it's some unknown thing, bring it, because they'll probably take that too.
So that was in my very next question. So if it's an unknown thing, like it's a mystery thing. I don't remember even where I got that.
Exactly.
I'm still bringing it.
It came in the house. It's in this bucket. I never had it open. I don't even know what's in that bucket.
I think we all can relate to that. I think we all have at least one item like that in our house. I'm pretty sure at least. What are some tips for transporting these items?
You know, just put them in a container where they're not going to spill. Mm. We don't want anything spilling in the back of your car. Put it in a sturdy box. Make sure everything is tight. So if you were sniffing it or seeing what was in it, that you didn't leave the lid on, because we don't want a mess. And we don't want a mess in the parking lot. It'll be at the Saratoga Town Hall. So Just want to keep it secure.
Not Tupperware. Probably don't want to use Tupperware for this stuff.
No.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, yeah. Good point. Good point. How about, you know, when it comes to the, I know for I'm not alone on this one. If I'm going out, I like to get everything done. I'm going to get this place and this place. I'm going to do that kind of thing. This is one of those times, though, where you probably just want to go A to B. Just bring the items straight to the site.
Yeah, especially if it's going to be in your trunk. And the way the weather has been so hot, we just don't want those chemicals sitting in the back of your car. They could be off-gassing chemicals inside your car, or, you know, containers might explode if they're too hot in the trunk. So just, yeah, bring them on down, and we'll take care of all that crap for you.
Yeah. And we're speaking with Kate Carlson from Wood County Health Department. And Kate, one of the other things I'm curious about with this, because I've had this actually come up in years past when it comes to clean sweep. How much does it cost? And I thought it was kind of funny because you and I, we're very familiar with clean sweep. We know this is a free service. But the family that I was talking to had just moved to this area. They didn't believe me. Like, they're like, no, really, what is it? And I'm like, no, seriously. And I think they thought I was trying to, like, sell them a bill of goods or something. Like, no, seriously, go check it out yourself. You'll see, there's no charge.
No charge at all.
Yeah, so I want to make sure that's clear to everybody that this is a free service.
Yeah, and if you have a lot of stuff, like say you're a farm or a business or a school, we deal a lot with the schools. Those chemistry departments get the stuff's old all the time, so they bring it in. And depending on what it is and who you are, like schools, we do a discount for them as well. But if you are a business, you will be charged. And if you do want Veolia to give you an estimate, you can give them a call. The phone number is on our fact sheet, our flyer that's on our website, and just call Zach over at Veolia, and he should be able to tell you too.
Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to this issue and the reason we're having clean sweep and everything, there's a lot of factors, and there's some pushback in a number of areas. If what you care about is money, one of the biggest resources in Wisconsin is its environment. And the people that come to this state, the all of that. Well, we don't have that environment if we keep doing this.
Right. Right.
We're going to lose that. So we're going to lose that income. We're going to lose those residents, those people coming in. We may even lose people that stay here and live here wanting to leave. Environmentalists. This is all about caring for our planet and taking care of our planet and keeping it around. Not for us. It ain't about us people. This is about our kids, kids, kids. This is about that. It goes back to the old native proverb of we don't plant trees for us to see them grow. We plant them for our children to see them grow. So that importance of this. And just in the sense of, don't you just love having a beautiful city? Don't you like having a clean area? This adds to that. We need these days, and we need more people speaking up about these days so we can have more of these things.
Absolutely. And you know, many years ago, a lot of people remember that the river was so polluted that we couldn't even swim in it, and we just don't want it to get anywhere near that stage again.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine everybody from the northern Wisconsin putting chemicals in, and we're going to see those three-eyed frogs again.
So. Yeah, right, right. Yeah, we don't need Blinky from The Simpsons. We don't need that.
No.
Clean Sweep is taking place Saturday, September 9th, 8 to noon at this beautiful Saratoga Town Hall at 1120 State Highway 73 here in Wisconsin Rapids. Kate, is there anything else that you want to touch on with Clean Sweep that we haven't gotten a chance to?
Well, there's a couple other resources. Like, there is a Express Recycling in town. You do have to pay for items, but they do take things for free, like washers, dryers, dishwashers, and hot water heaters. They do take microwaves, computer monitors for a fee, TVs, electronics. It's only $5 for computer electronics, DVD players, VCRs. So, you know, do your part. Instead of giving $5 to another charity, this is your charity. Pay the $5 and go dispose of things properly.
Mm-hmm. Kate, I wanted to take a little time to talk about the recent just the summer of wildfires we've had and the way that has affected our air. We saw a lot of it early on in summer, especially if you were going a little bit northern in the state.
Absolutely.
And those Canadian wildfires and that. What are some important things to know about this topic, getting into it?
So it's new for us, but, you know, this has been happening for a long time. I remember when I was in New York about 10 years ago, we went up to the Empire State Building, and we couldn't see anything, and somebody said it was the Canadian fires, and I was like, what?
Mm.
I mean, we had never heard of that in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. but now we're seeing it, and it's just a matter of the airstream, where the smoke is going through, and with the winds coming from the north, we're going to get those wildfire smoke days. And so people are calling with concerns or contacting their representatives with concerns. So what we did at the health department is just had a little study. We had an air monitor. Actually, we had two different air monitors. We went out and actually tested at some of the employees' homes.
Okay.
And everything that we found out was corresponding with whatever the news has said. So they had thought maybe there was other issues with the air in Grand Rapids, and they just didn't know if what the news was telling them was what they were actually seeing. Hmm. And yes, we confirmed that the levels that we were seeing locally are the same that are on the internet or on what the news is telling us. So when the news tells you that there's bad air because of wildfires, even though you can't see it or see it very well, it's very hazardous, especially if you are immunocompromised in any way. So it's difficult for the normal person to breathe when it's like that, let alone immunocompromised. So just hate to say it, but stay in the house.
Yeah. And are there ways that your average citizen can check their air quality to know, if they should be bopping outside or today's a good day to stay indoors?
Just checking those internet websites and listen to the news. They'll tell you when it's bad.
We certainly want you to stay indoors if you can. We also know that, sometimes doctor's appointments, things like that come up and you're going to have to head out there. If you are somebody dealing with respiratory issues, there is poor air quality, you have to go out there. Are there recommendations for best ways to kind of care for yourself while you're out there?
Well, it's back to those COVID masks.
What I was afraid of. That's kind of what we thought. Yeah.
So just take your mask with you when you go to those appointments, and that'll help a little bit. It doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Just like with COVID, it's not going to hurt your situation. It's going to help you filtering that out so that you're not breathing that in, getting that in your lungs. It's not like you can feel contamination in your lungs or anything. You can see it, you can smell it, but you can't feel it in your lungs, and unless you are immunocompromised and then you're coughing. And
this time
of year we have the allergens too, and this summer has been so dry with these allergens, so a lot of people got hit double whammy with the smoke.
You
and,
ain't kidding.
The allergens.
Yeah. I've never had allergies my whole life, never worried about it. This past two summers, this summer in particular, I can't figure out why I can't breathe through my nose, and I'm like, what's going on and stuff, and I was joking about it. I think it was my mom that said, oh, you probably got allergies, Jimmy. What are you talking about? I'm 40 something and I did not realize that this could happen to me.
The longer you're exposed to something, then your body can develop a reaction to it, just like mold. Like if you're around a lot of mold, you might not have a mold allergy, but if you're around it all the time, you could develop a mold allergy. So
I mean maybe it is, but I don't feel like this is common knowledge. Like I think that's just, if you take a step back, just fascinating about the human body and how interesting that can be. But more importantly, for us that are dealing with it, to you out there that are and stuff, it's something to kind of catch. Because you don't want to go summer after summer after summer like this I just got a stuffy nose, or I got a summer cold, or you may actually have allergies.
Right, it's
important to look into these things. Doing an allergy test or something like that is just as important as checking the air quality oftentimes.
Absolutely. So then you just know. It's like any other health condition. You want to know what you're dealing with so you can address it properly.
Yeah. Kate, we had one last thing that we wanted to touch on before we let you go, and you can go and about your day and get away from me and all that. What did you want to touch on here?
So recently we've had people are reporting foodborne illness to the state, and that's fine, but we're wasting several days worth of investigation. If you just call our local health department, we're the ones that do the inspections. We license everybody in Wood County, Adams County, Juneau County, and we should get the foodborne illness complaint. So we need to talk to you as soon as possible. If you wait a couple days or tell the state about these things, it's going to take a couple days for them to get it to us, and other people could have been getting sick in the meantime. So if there's a problem with a restaurant, a food product that you're buying at a store, let us know, because we need to know so that other people aren't affected and we can slow the illness or get that product recalled or just do an investigation, figure out what's going on. And we are local. We're right here, local health department, Adams, Juneau, like I said, Marshfield. Just call the local health department, 421-8911. And so if you feel like you got sick from a facility, just give us a call. If you didn't get sick, we're going to ask you a bunch of questions. You're going to be on the phone for a little while. But just think about it. Would you want your mother or your grandkids to go to that same restaurant that same day and get the same reaction? So we don't want that happening. If there is an issue, which isn't very often, we do see about one outbreak a year in Wood County. It's affected maybe 5 to 50 people in the past. Mm-hmm. So, it can really save save, you know, when we start this investigation, we need to get on it really fast, just like any other kind of investigation. And those wasted days is crucial, just like that's why it's called the first 48, that TV show. The first 48 hours is what's really important, where we can gather the evidence. We need to ask a lot of questions about what you ate. You have to remember, you know, was there ice in your soda? What kind of drink it was? Did you have dessert? Did you have snacks that day? So we need to get your memory and get your recall of everything that you've eaten so that we can narrow down what's happening. And if it's a restaurant, you know, maybe it's one little product, but, you know, not everybody's eating that product, and so it's easier to narrow down when we have more people complaining, because it's not just, well, I ate this, this, and this. Well, if five other people ate similar things but all had one thing in common, then we've narrowed down that item. So it helps us if you let us know. And
these kind of things are very data heavy.
Yes.
And the more people that you are data, the more people that give you information, I had this and it did this to me. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, it wasn't that. I can take that off the list. Oh, it's got to be this. It's so, especially with something, just talking, I know we're talking about more than just this, but just looking at restaurants, there's a billion things in there that could be causing whatever that outbreak is.
Right.
And it's interesting that the law came up a little bit, because I've talked about this with Sheriff Becker before, about reaching out to our sheriff or our police departments with things that they are not in charge of, and the wasted time that happens with that.
Right.
It's so vital to call the right people, to reach out to the right people, and to get that information out there, who the right people is. I'm not giving people an excuse here, but to no fault to anybody's, oftentimes this issue comes up, said issue, and well, where do I go? There's so many resources nowadays.
Right.
And that's a good thing that we got multiple resources. It also just makes it harder sometimes when I was at this restaurant, I ate bad food, and Sheriff Becker's wondering why you're telling him this, you know, that kind of thing. We got to make sure that we're getting people connected to the right people, certainly because that's the, you know, we want people to be able to do their jobs. But most importantly, to the point of Kate, no matter what we're talking about here, time is of the essence. Time is always valuable. It's always important. And we're not going to be able to help people if we don't know about it sooner.
Right, right.
When it comes to that, so Kate, I mean, I could jump on you there. When it comes to, I'm in that situation, I have a bad experience at this play, particular place, is my first call to you guys? Is that the way that I should handle that?
Either that facility directly or to us, because our first call is going to be to that facility, and we're going to say, did anyone report illness? And if you haven't even called them, then they don't even know about it. So then we're telling them that somebody called in. And so then what we do is we ask, are there any ill employees? Have they called in sick? Mm-hmm. Anybody else reported illness to them? Anything weird going on? Because it's just, it seems like whenever there's an outbreak, there's a weird situation that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know one time we had an outbreak, and a lady had won tickets on a radio show, to a concert. And so she was changing her methods in the kitchen, and that resulted in an outbreak. And just the littlest thing that breaks your routine. And but we need to know about it. We do the inspections. You see those inspections in the newspaper. So we are local. That's what we're doing here. We are agents of the state. So we do work for the state, but we are local here. So let the locals know.
We have Clean Sweep again coming up this Saturday, September 9th from 8 to noon over at the Saratoga Town Hall in Wisconsin Rapids. Kate, I wanted to wrap up with volunteers. Do we need volunteers for this event? Are we good?
We're good so far this year, but we're always open to if somebody wants to bring a food truck or somebody wants to volunteer, wants to learn more about the program. There is a grant that we fill out for this. We work with the UW Extension Office with that grant. If you're interested in getting your own clean sweep for your own municipality, or your own group wants to participate, maybe Girl Scouts want to sell cookies there or something like that, just let us know.
And if you want to find out more, you can go to woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov. Otherwise, give our friends at Extension a call at 715-421-8440. That's 421-8440. Or the Wood County Health Department at 421-8911, 421-8911. Kate, always good talking with you.
Thank you, James.
Thanks for the time, and say hi to the staff over there for us.
Sure.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Hurricane Idalia is now taking aim at Georgia and the Carolinas with strong winds and heavy rain after flooding Florida as a Category 3. This woman got stranded in high waters near Pine Island.
It got real deep real fast, and then the water started coming in like crazy. We almost like didn't make it back up to the bridge. There was water in our car and everything.
More coastal surge is expected. President Biden addressed Idalia from the White House today and says federal aid is on the way.
As federal teams on the ground are working with first responders in
Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina to get people to safety.
But Mr. Biden vowed to continue helping Maui in an area where some have been critical of the federal government's response to those deadly wildfires.
$95 million from the bipartisan infrastructure law is on the way to Hawaii.
He says his administration will be with Maui every step of the way. Allison Keyes, CBS News, Washington.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says he has plans to see a doctor soon after freezing in front of reporters again. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
This is the second incident of its kind involving Senate Republican Leader Mitch McConnell this summer. Speaking to reporters in front of cameras in Covington,